warmer weather, be careful what we ask for, I guess is the idea here, because it just turned warm. All right, I guess that's better. Can you hear me okay? All right. You know, it's a whole... Can I what? I will try. I will try to stay behind the pulpit. I'm a walker. The reason, I'll give you a brief reason in my week shortly to tell you why. I farm, as you know. Sunday, Monday, I was up at 4 each morning raking, baling, and hauling hay all day into the evening and the night. And it was hot. And I have 3 tractors I farm with. My biggest tractor has a cab. I had a little bit smaller tractor with a canopy. And all day long, the heater worked so good on that tractor. It just blew hot air right by me. And then, sadly, the air conditioner on that tractor works really good in the winter. I just kind of have to find a different switch. As you know, I work for the Yavapai County Superior Court. One of my responsibilities is the Verde Ditch because the court has jurisdiction of it. It's 20 miles long, one of the longest ditches in the Verde Valley. And this winter it flooded, washed over the bank, took thousands of dollars to rebuild the infrastructure and the dam where it flooded. Now, folks, we're running out of river water. The river's getting so low I can't get water to the end of the ditch. Been having to run the backhoe. This week we had to put a pump in the river halfway down and pump water to get water for people at the end of the ditch. So that was a long 3 days. Starting irrigation water at 5. So you know what? I praise the Lord that He's merciful and that we have a Holy Spirit, folks. Amen for that. I'll try not to walk. After, you know, Adam and Eve had been removed from the Garden of Eden, it was a beautiful land. Think of the lushness. I can't even imagine the fruit, the animals, the lush green watered by dew from the earth. What a beautiful place it must have been. People living for a long period of time. You know, 2 old men sitting under a tree. You know, I'm starting to feel kind of old. My last birthday was my 820th birthday. Yeah. Isn't that amazing how we have diminished in stature and size? I guess that would make a 100-year-old person a child. I don't know how that worked, but there's certainly 800 years is a long time. You know, man had time to think and plan. Could have used it in a wisdom way. Let's begin by turning to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. I always like these sermons with Genesis because I can find it. It's easy. It's Titus and other places that I have trouble. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now you know where my 120 come from on my sermon. 120 days. I'm sorry, not years, days. God always has a plan, does he not? And is it always not a perfect plan? Perfect. Let's continue reading in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, man had 900 years to develop this. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth. What a thought. The Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. Our Savior was grieved in his heart. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Did you realize our Savior had those thoughts, folks? The wickedness had become so evil that he was wanting to destroy what he created. Yet even now, with what I just read, his heart of infinite love held back from carrying out so dreadful a judgment. That is our Savior, folks, merciful. If only there was someone following him, he would wait 120 years. Now, he didn't say, and this is God's mercy, he didn't say, you know what? I'm tired of him. He just said, I'm sorry I created him. Next week, I'll wipe him out. He said 120 years. Is that not mercy, folks? Is that not giving them time to turn from their ways? And he was looking for someone to tell his plan to the people, to preach it, to save as many souls as could be saved. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, folks, there have been people through eternity and will be, and there's been people through this earth. Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, the people that lived and preached for the Lord through the Reformation, Mrs. White. There's always been champions, folks, for our Savior, always. This instance, it was Noah. And all throughout history, God has found men with grace, more than I can name. One day, God came to Noah, Genesis 6, 13 and 15. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make room in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of it of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Now Noah must have been kind of surprised by this. I mean, build an ark, build a boat. Why? God really was going to destroy the earth and humanity? Did Noah have faith? Did he question, well, Lord, I can't believe that. Noah had faith, did he not? That he would do as he said, and that Noah would do as God asked. Now, let me give you just a little dimensions to determine the distance. The length of it in feet was 600 feet. The width of it was 100 feet. And the height was 60 feet. I understand that better than cubits. So Noah had quite a job. But how many years did he have to do it? 120 years. Noah must have thought, what a project and what faith it took. Would you have faith to build a boat on dry land? Would you have faith that God was saying what he was saying, that he's going to destroy? Thank goodness for Noah, and thank goodness for his faith. You know, Noah had to be thinking, build an ark, preach to the people, warning them of the coming flood. What was a flood? They didn't even know what a flood was. How God had built a place of refuge for those who wanted to be saved. What was God's purpose in doing all this? Just to build a place of refuge for those who wanted to be saved. You know, the people come, it says that they mocked him for his preaching of a flood, for building an ark, and they had 120 years to do it. Because it took Noah that long to build the ark. It took that long for God to say, please, somebody, I'm building a refuge for you. I'm building a place for you to be saved. Believe in what I say. 120 years and it wasn't believed. And you know, one of the things is as time goes on, it kind of gets out of their mind. Oh, well, you know, it's just an ark, it's a boat. There's no flood. Nothing's happened for the last 111 years. Isn't going to happen in 120. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, we read on. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. You know, Noah had such faith, and that's why he was chosen, was it not? To do the work and to preach. And then, on the 120th year, something began to happen. You know the story. The animals begin to enter the ark on their own, as far as the people could understand, but led by angels and into the ark. Two of every unclean, seven of every clean animal into the ark. And you know, I gotta say, I'm trying to stay in front of the mic. I've always wondered, having grown up from the day I was born around farming and ranching, what was the sanitation like on that ark? But you know what? God's plans are perfect. I'm sure he had a whole plan to take care of all that. I just someday gonna ask God what that plan was. Out of curiosity, someday to be with our Savior, someday to be with our guardian angels and ask the rest of the story. What a blessing that'll be. In Genesis 7, verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. God has seen what Noah had done and through faith. Now, folks, that was eight people. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and the three wives of the boys. Eight individuals entered the ark. Then the door was shut by unseen hands. Now, the people had to wonder about the animals, Noah entering the ark, and now the door being shut. I'm sure that people had to wonder, yet how many individuals said, Lord, I want to be saved. I believe what you're doing. I believe what you're saying. Eight individuals. Humanity, us today, depended upon eight individuals being saved. Satan would have liked to wipe out everybody. Eight individuals, and the flood came as God had said. Genesis 7:23. As soon as I find it, folks. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the grounds, both man and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Does God promise what he's going to do? He does not falter or fail. Can you imagine that ark upon these turbulent floodwaters? Was he being watched over? Was Noah and his family being watched over? Can God take care of us? Absolutely. The warning had been given for 120 years. 120 years. The people had made their decision. You know, folks, we can only each individually make our own decision. I don't know how many people were alive at that time. I mean, they're living to be 700, 800, 900-year-old people, so there had to be quite a few people. And how many were saved? 8. Would have God opened the door for any one of those individuals if they had said, I want to be saved? Would he have opened it? Absolutely. What our Savior has gone through because of his people, his creation. Matthew 24. Verse 37-39. Folks, this is why I am telling you the story of Noah this morning, right here, these verses. When I read them, you will understand what I'm talking about. You'll understand what it is for God to save. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you start to see the correlation here? Folks, we're living in the last days, the last hours of this earth history. Now I'm going to read you the same chapter, but verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, I'll try to stay in front of the mic. Now, only God knows. The problem is if he said, you know what, September 21st, 2023, I'm coming back. If he'd given us a date, here's the problem. Everybody would have said, Lord, I accept you on September 20th, 2023. But would they have been sincere? No, they would have done it because September 21st was coming. So God in his wisdom didn't give us a day and a time. That's not the reason that we say, Lord, I want to be with you in your kingdom. We need to know our Savior because our world's close is coming, folks. Our Savior, who sat on the throne of heaven, was worshipped by angels, the other inhabitants, a part of the Godhead with the Father and the Holy Spirit, creator of humanity, creator of this world, this earth, stepped down to take on humanity. Who he had created to become human, to walk this earth, to give life, to save us. To live with him again for eternity, as was his purpose for Adam, Our Savior took on humanity, our form, the scars of the nails, and the wound in his side. He's identified for eternity with us to save us. Does God love us? Does our Savior love us, folks? What is his desire for us to be with him for eternity? The plan of salvation is complete. You need to understand what Jesus came to walk this earth for. And again, you know these texts. They are so important with the message they give. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So not only Jesus, but God and the Holy Spirit, the guardian angels, love us, watch over us, take care of us. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believeth in him. Did Noah believe in God? Yes. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, this is such an important point. You have to understand, our Savior did not come to condemn. What did he come to do? He's in heaven at this point from 1844 to do judgment in the sanctuary. Now you have to understand, you think of judgment as being a criminal case and a judge and all that. What God is judging is our lives. Did we ask him for our forgiveness? Did we ask him and desire to be saved? Are we clean in the book of life by his blood? Is it gone? The record is clean. But we have to ask. We have to desire. We have to want. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. Those folks with the time of Noah had every opportunity, just as we do today. It is my plea that we study the Bible. It is my plea to read Desire of Ages. It's a great controversy. To understand what's coming. If you don't know what's coming, how can you prepare for it? So understand our Savior. His whole desire is not to condemn, not say, oh, you sinned, I'm done with you. His whole desire is that you come to him and say, Lord, I want to be a part of your relationship. I want to be a part of your life. I want to be a part of eternity. Give me a clean record through forgiveness. He's not interested in anything other than saving. Isn't that what we just read, that he came to the world to save, not to condemn? He wants us with him. I pray we'll be there. God came to offer us a gift of salvation. We need to accept this gift to be saved. This is our Savior's only purpose. His life, his body, his blood offered for us. After Jesus' death and resurrection, as he was leaving to ascend to the Father and angels to take place on the throne, he left us with a gift. John 14, verses 16 to 18. And I shall pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but yet knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Who is our comforter? The Holy Spirit. And look, folks, he's looking for a place to dwell, and that's us. Isn't that what it said? What an amazing thing. How blessed we are. And that he may dwell with us forever. John 14:21. This is our part. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Folks, one of the greatest things is love for our Savior, love for each other. We are a family of God, absolutely a family of God. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Has God ever broken a promise? Didn't we just read the promise that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Our Savior is doing the work of judgment at this point. Folks, the reason I gave you the story of Noah is because at the point in time that God stands up and says, it's done, I'm through, folks, the door will be shut. Just as it was on the ark. And I've had people say, Dave, I don't want to hear. I just don't want to know. How sad is that? How sad for the people that were lost in Noah's time. It doesn't have to be that way. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? Each one of us, folks. It's personal. It's not for John or for Henry or for Sarah. It's each of us. The promise covers each of us. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, what? Come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, we're in the last days of Earth's history. Violence. Is there not violence, folks, happening every day? Is there not many things happening every day? Our world leaders, we don't even begin to know or understand what they're planning. But one thing I'll leave you with, and I've said this before from right here at the pulpit, that the world leaders, whatever they plan, whatever they want, whatever Satan is instructing, whatever Satan's doing, whatever is happening in our world, one thing you need to know. Who's in charge, folks? God. And he is planning and will carry through and save every soul that wants to be saved. Absolutely. How merciful and wonderful and loving is that of our Savior. May we all be there with each other in heaven.
Please stand. Let's all be there when the roll is called up yonder, okay? I want my name on that list. How about you?
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of us shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. What love? We do not even understand that kind of love. Dear Father, thank you for the plan of salvation. That each of us can decide that we want to be with you. That each one of us can decide we want to be with you for eternity. Please, dear Father, bless each one of us. I pray for the Holy Spirit for each one of us. Thank you, dear Father, and we praise you in Jesus' name, amen.